And usually when there is avijja, there is craving or desire all the time for us, for self, for the idea of wanting something, even the kusala moment. Avijja and attachment can cling to kusala moment. So while one just want to do something, where is the avijja and attachment?
You're asking me the question. If you want to develop panya, for example. Well, my feeling, and I've stated this before on Dhamma Study Group list, is that in general, and I speak from my own experience only, is that I had so much dosa and so many problems.
It's a reality, not you.
But I'm speaking conventionally.
But right understanding can understand in order to be sure that it's not you.
Well,
in order to attain Nibbana, otherwise there is clinging to the idea of self who has anger at that moment.
Agreed, but I had experienced so much dosa. You know, I have accumulations of the hating temperament.
If you understand reality as nama and rupa, are you hating nama? Are you...
I had so many powerful negative accumulations that I couldn't even begin to... think about satipatthana.
No one don't have to think in the beginning. In the beginning, we don't have to think of satipatthana at all. While there's not a moment of understanding reality right now, it's impossible to dream about satipatthana when there is no understanding of reality.
Right.
So there should be the understanding of reality, not from the book, but from this moment.
But from my experience, because of the presence
Chitta?
Of such heavy dosa, my mind could not understand right views.
But you understand,
and so forth.
But you understand nama, rupa, cetasika, and all cetasikas, the sapacitta, satra, cetasikas. While you are standing, while you understand this, there is no dosa.
Right, but I'm just saying from my accumulations,
not now, not now. We are talking about this moment and future moment. This
okay,
moment
I'm
will condition
about...
more and more understanding,
okay,
less and less dosa by understanding. So only by having understanding, dosa can be less. Without understanding, there is still the latent tendency for dosa to arise anytime at any level.
But see, I don't see necessarily such a big problem with that in an earlier part of a practice. And this is really what I was trying to get at, was that there were so many negative accumulations that I had to eradicate or work with before I could even begin to get to understanding
but
the
right now,
right
at this
realities
moment.
And so forth. Like, for example, I would read any Buddhist text and they would make no sense to me. My mind was clouded by all kinds of negative...
You're talking
like
about the past.
I am talking about the past.
But now...
She's talking about the present.
Yeah.
I understand.
Let's understand one thing clearly. We didn't get here because of wrong practice. We got here in spite of wrong practice.
Mm-hmm.
We might say, I'm only here because I fell off a cliff when... someone took me to a whole series of events, or I had an experience, or I met someone,
right.
Or...
It's making up stories.
It's making up stories.
Mm-hmm.
One is here because of one's vipaka and one's accumulated
right
understanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that when I've seen people say that, oh, well, you can't possibly provide a more favorable conditions that are more conducive to insight, I strongly disagree with that. I strongly, strongly disagree with that. For people of certain accumulations, you most definitely can.
To say anything about favorable conditions for development of samatha and satipatthana?
I really would like to know what is the most favorable condition.
For my own accumulations, my most favorable conditions have been so many that it's very hard to list off.
Just mention one.
Okay.
What are one of those?
Okay, one of the most important ones for me was the study of trangye, which means it's a Tibetan contraction meaning to lead out of wrong view and lead into right view, okay? That was on the intellectual side, okay? In the same way that we talk about studying realities here and now, what is hardness, what is this, what is that, that's actually also a part of the study of trangye. For these accumulations, first it was eradicating the very coarsest form of ditti through the intellectual pariyatti kind of study, and then it was the practice of shamatha meditation of subduing the hindrances to the point where the jhanas became possible. For these accumulations, that was the most effective.
The most favorable one is panya.
What do you mean in that sense?
Right understanding.
Before
one do anything, there should be right understanding.
Yes, yes.
Even the development of samatha, there should be the more and more and deeper understanding of what samatha is.
Yes.
And for example, the word sati and samadhi, what is the difference between these two?
I don't know how you
so
would define
no
them.
So no way to develop samatha. Because without panya, can anyone develop samatha bhavana?
I'm not really sure of
how in Tipitaka it says both samatha bhavana and vipassana bhavana cannot develop without right understanding. Different levels.
Oh yeah, yeah, agree.
Different
agreed.
Levels.
Yes.
So
yes.
The understanding, the development of samatha is very important. Otherwise we may call it samatha, but in reality it's not samatha.
Right.
At all.
Right.
So samatha means the moment when citta is kusala without akusala.
See, that is the first time I've heard samatha used in that sense.
We don't talk about bhavana yet. The meaning of samatha is calm.
Yeah, right. In the Tibetan definition, it means calm abiding.
And citta can be calm only when there is no akusala cetasikas, no uttaccha, no moha, ahirika, ottaka. See? Mm-hmm. So the moment when citta is calm, it's kusala, it's calm. But it's so short in a day. At the moment of giving dana, it's calm. No akusala cetasika arising with citta.
Okay.
But it's so short. That's why jaka nosati is one of the 40 samatha objects.
Which
jaka nosati.
Jaka nosati is dana. Yeah.
Oh, dana. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not dana nosati. Mm-hmm. So the difference, there must be some difference between dana and jaka.
Okay.
That's why samatha bhavana, or the object for the development of samatha, must be studied in order to develop correctly. Otherwise, one may call it samatha, but it's not samatha.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when there is no understanding about the difference between sati and samadhi, it's impossible to develop samatha. And when there is no understanding about panya at level of samatha, it's impossible to develop samatha either.
Okay, what's clear from this is that we've been using some different terminology and stuff like that. So I'm going to have to get on the same page so I know, because I've never actually heard samatha be spoken of as arising with kusala at all times. It's one of these words like papancha, which could be at a very subtle level, a very subtle discursiveness, but also be more coarse conceptualization and so forth. So it's very good that I've learned this. So I'll have to study this in much greater depth.
Because samatha grows too. If there is no samatha at this moment, there cannot be samatha at the level of jhana.
Right. Mm-hmm. That
so
would make sense.
So when one understands samatha, then in daily life one can see whether there are conditions for samatha to arise or not, because we understand that there is no self, no one can induce samatha at will, but there must be conditions, and the most important thing is panya, right understanding
yes.
of everything.
Yes.
Of samatha development and satipatthana development, very careful.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So one might do something like meditation without understanding of anything and call it something like jhana or samatha or satipatthana or vipassanayana without understanding. And we can understand reality at this moment instead of just talking about it like nama, tattoo, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. rupa tattoo. I think that you said before about the moment of understanding reality, which experiences object, that it's citta, something like that, in order to understand citta.
I don't recall.
Let's see.
The purpose.
Before that, because he talked about something which is not real, when it's real, when it's a reality. And maybe you think that it's not real, it's only concept about
it. Oh, no, what I was talking about is mm-hmm. that it is not ultimately existent in terms of having self or ultimate reality. And in fact, this is one of the very important debates of Trangye, the teachings on right view that I mentioned as being very important in my own training, was that the very first set of wrong views that they begin to refute are those that hold that paramattha dhammas are truly self-existent, that paramattha dhammas have self-nature.
That must be the reality of paramattha dhamma.
Yeah, there is a reality, there is experience happening, but it's still not self. It's still anatta, it's still an anicca.
Everything is not self.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure, because...
But what is it when it's not self? What is it? One must have the precise understanding. Because now it arises and it falls away. If it's not self, what is it?
I don't know how I would answer that in a way that would make
it
sense.
It must be either citta or cetasika or rupa.
Can I ask about sabhava, sabhaptam?
Yes,
sabhava. It said that paramattha dhammas are sabhaptam, sabhava
yes.
dhamma. So what is the sabhava?
Bhava is the characteristic of a reality. Because when it's real, it must have its own characteristic.
So when you said what is there, can we say there is the
sabhava? Yes.
And Nibbana has sabhava?
Certainly. Each one has.
Right. So when Nibbana is the object of citta, then it is the sabhava that is the object.
No doubt.
But when we say Nibbana is signless, this is not to say it has no sabhava.
No. It has
sabhava, but it's signless.
Its sabhava is signless because it's not like the citta, cetasika, and rupa, which has something that we can call sign or shadow. We now talking about citta and cetasika, but it's like something behind the curtain, and we do not see it clearly yet, but it's there.
Is there a Pali term for this?
Sign, the sign, nimitta. The shape, and the nimitta. Yes, the nimitta. Mm. And there are many meanings of nimitta too. Mm. Nimitta, which is not real at all, like a dream, is also nimitta. Mm. Just thinking about something which is not real. And nimitta of nama, nimitta of rupa.
Mm. So we know that on a moment-to-moment basis, when sati takes an object, or panya takes an object, that has actually fallen away.
Right understanding grows very little gradually, but it grows and it can understand what Buddha taught. Mm. The word in the Tipitaka, like nimitta and anupayanchana, of the shape and form of reality which appears through six doorways. Mm. See?
Okay, I just had the question on, in terms of Nibbana and Sabhava. Okay, in Sanskrit terms, Svabhava is strenuously refuted as being an aspect of Nibbana, for example. Nagarjuna says it is Asvabhava, Asankara, and all of these other kinds of things.
Asvabhava? Nibbana?
Oh, yeah. Without marks, without any kind of...
No marks, but without Svabhava?
Okay, well, the question that I want to get to very specifically here is, what is meant by Nibbana having Sabhava? Okay, because...
Okay.
Any reality has its own sabhava.
This is a very important one.
But you know that nobody can experience Nibbana without the developed panya. So no matter how much we talk about it, it's only the thinking about Nibbana.
Of course, of course.
But
so,
Nibbana is not citta, not cetasika, not rupa. But Nibbana is real. When the panya develops to the degree that it becomes detached from all citta, cetasika, and rupa, and then it turns towards the nature of Nibbana.
But what about Nibbana is real? This is what I'm trying to understand, because this ties back into the whole sabhava issue. I mean, how can you say Nibbana is real?
That is the definition of reality. It has sabhava.
But what is that sabhava?
Peace.
But that's merely a conventional designation.
The eradication.
It's the truth.
Oh.
Absolute. What is the object of Lokuttara citta?
How can there be an object when...
Citta must experience.
I strongly question the Abhidhamma interpretation that there is such a thing that citta can experience Nibbana.
At moment of enlightenment, what did Buddha experience? Or what citta was there at moment of enlightenment?
I mean, we can say conventionally that citta maybe is a helpful way of describing things.
Citta arises, and it's the element which must experience.
But citta...
If it does not experience this, it's rupa. The reality which cannot experience or cognize anything must be rupa, not citta, not cetasika. So whenever citta arises, no matter one realizes the object of the citta or not, citta experiences an object. For example, when one is fast asleep, there is citta.
So basically then, if I understand correctly, what you're saying is that citta experiences Nibbana as object. Yes. So Nibbana exists.
Certainly.
So you're saying Nibbana...
But of course!
Whoa. How can Nibbana possibly exist?
Excuse me. Now, where is Nibbana? Citta arises, it experiences whisper object, it experiences sound, it thinks, it's gone with different object. Not Nibbana, only Lokuttara citta can experience Nibbana. So we don't have to talk about present or past or future because Nibbana does not arise, it's unconditioned at all. But it's a reality. Without this, how can citta or Lokuttara citta arise and be able to eradicate defilement? Because anything which arises is the object for clinging.
But we can say conventionally, okay, I would have
no problem.
No,
this
hold
is
on.
Not conventional.
I would, no, I understand. I understand what we're talking about when Lokuttara. But
Lokuttara citta.
Lokuttara
citta. There are nawa Lokuttara Dhamma, not just one, nine Lokuttara Dhamma. Nawa Lokuttara Dhamma.
Elaborate the nine, please.
Nibbana, one, and the eight Lokuttara cittas.
You're not talking about Nibbana and then the two or three Lokuttara cittas that follow Magga, the
Just
Pala
talk
cittas.
About the nine, and then the details comes later.
Okay, I guess the reason I raise this point again is because there's very strong debate on this. Let's take the Bodhisattva of wisdom out of here now. What citta is cognizing the absence there? There's merely a concept of absence being cognized.
Nibbana has a reality, sabhava, and then it has some other attributes. And one of the attributes is the absence of greed, hatred, and delusion. The absence of greed, hatred, and delusion is not the sabhava of Nibbana.
So what are the sabhava of Nibbana in your understanding, Jonathan?
My understanding is only what I've read, of course, and that is that the sabhava of Nibbana is that it transcends conditioned nature. And you're about to learn another difference between the Tibetan and the Theravada teaching.
There is no difference when it comes to correct understanding.
We don't name it, so the differences don't name it too. We don't name it whether it's Theravada or Mahayana or Tibetan.
Right,
we talk about the absolute reality.
The absolute reality of the Dhammas, exactly. Yes.
And it's in the individual's understanding too, your own, my own, and the others. Not just the book says this and that.
The only reason I bring up my own historical background is just to let people know that there are differences in the way I use terms and things like that, so we can have clarity.
But we don't have to use the terms like this and that. What about the reality? We have to use concept in order to represent realities, that's all.
Right. And I just want to make sure that the conceptual designations I'm using are understood by
everyone.
That's
why we have the reality now, to know that what we mean by such and such concepts.
Could you talk about the particular characteristic of different realities? I mean, apart from the general characteristics of anicca, anukha, say, loba?
Attachment.
Yeah.
Is there attachment right now?
There can be certainly the appearance of attachment, sure.
When there is some idea, is there any attachment to it?
Depends on which types of cittas are arising, right? Whether
because
whether they're loba mula cittas or not, what if they're mahakusala cittas?
Yeah. By way of bhajya, anything can be object of loba, except Lokuttara Dhamma. That's why Buddha developed understanding in order to become enlightened as Buddha and taught us all about the Paramattha Dhammas and the way to develop right understanding in order to be able to eradicate lobha. Otherwise, there is no way at all to eradicate lobha, because anything can be object of lobha right now.
Well, there are other ways, potentially, I think, and the way I look at it and the way I've been...
Excuse me. You just get up in the morning, just open your eyes. Is there lobha?
Sure. I mean, there are lobha.
How can there be no lobha? There must be the way to become an arahata.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing, it's not kusala, no akusala, but it is kiriya citta. So there must be the way to develop right understanding to the degree that as soon as one opens one's eyes, it is kiriya citta,
mm-hmm.
not lopa anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's the way?
Dana, sila, bhavana in the most basic sense.
Yeah, but those people who had dana before studying Dhamma,
mm-hmm.
and could they become enlightened just by dana? Not by sila?
No.
So
only by right understanding,
by
ultimately.
Right understanding.
Only by right understanding.
And when there
ultimately.
Is understanding, it conditions dana too.
Mm-hmm. And when there's right understanding, it conditions the dana paramita.
And all kusala.
All kusala.
More than usual.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that the one who develops right understanding doesn't have any more dana and sila. So the aim shouldn't be developing dana, so we don't know when there will be the right understanding of reality of this moment. Just having dana each day and sila. But the sila cannot be perfect at all until one has become a sotapanna.
Correct.